Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Red hot comic book movie news. Shooting up your butthole. The Weekly Planet. The Weekly Planet.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, official podcast of comicbookmovie.com, where we talk movies, comics, TV shows. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday. With me, as always, is my co-host, Nick Mason.
I'm here.
Yeah, you are here. Mm-hmm. How's that going?
Yeah, good. I got a dog in my lap.
You got a dog in the lap.
I'm wearing a tan pant,
yes,
so I had to put down a blanket.
That's right.
So the dog doesn't drool on my tan pant. But then I've got the dog on top of that, and that's the dog's asleep,
She's
think.
Giving a bloody pant as well, you know what I mean?
Ah!
They don't wear pant. So they can.
You can put
a pant on a dog.
Have you ever made this dog wear any clothing?
Yes.
Like a little vest?
No.
Wait, clothing exclusively for this dog? Or like dog clothing? Or have you just made it wear a t-shirt?
No, dog clothing. There was a penguin costume once.
Oh, dear.
And there was a wedding dress. But I'll explain that another day. It's not as weird as it sounds.
It's very weird.
Yeah, I know.
I think you married this dog.
You know, it is as weird as it sounds when I think about it. Mm. I'll explain it another day.
Have you ever thrown a t-shirt over the dog and then just watched it stumble around a room?
Yeah. Well, that's also happened where like she'll get caught in a blanket and you kind of wriggle about. Yeah. All right. Here we go. Did you see the first photo of Mera in Aquaman?
Yes.
The reddest of hair, the greenest of scaly outfits.
Looks great.
Yeah, it's comic accurate.
And it's comic accurate, and it's not the standard DC of just like making it
grim and grey.
Grim and grey and chunky battle armor kind of a look. It actually looks comic accurate and good.
Yeah.
So there you go.
I saw some concept art. I think it was real for the...
And this is from Aquaman, right?
It's from Aquaman,
this is
the
not
movie.
Justice League.
I believe so, yeah. I saw what Jason Momoa is going to be wearing in that, and it's the green and gold.
Really?
Yeah. And I don't know, maybe that's not real, but I forgot to ask you to look at that. But just remember that I looked at it and I approved.
Okay.
Remember that.
Do you think maybe that's prequel? Like maybe that's a flashback sequence?
Could be.
Where he was less grim and gritty?
Maybe. I think maybe the Aquaman movie is going to be about him getting his kingdom back or... beginning to rule his kingdom.
Okay, yeah.
I don't think they're going to do... I think Wonder Woman would probably work, hopefully will work, we'll talk about them in a bit, as a flashback movie set in the past. But Aquaman, it doesn't need to be a prequel. You could just kind of continue the story.
That's true, yeah.
That's the way I see it anyway.
Yeah.
But no, good, excellent. Also, yeah, I said we'd talk about it just then and we will now.
Okay.
Apparently Wonder Woman's real good.
That's what they've been
the
saying.
The early reactions are in.
Yep.
So they're like it's like as good as like a Captain America First Avenger or just a good comic book movie in general.
Well, that's great. That's good to know.
Yeah.
I hope it is.
Me too.
Because if it isn't,
but these, I mean, you never know. Like, there's been a lot of cases of early screenings and like Fantastic Four got really positive word of mouth. A lot of people love the Batman Superman fan screening that happened, but this is a little bit different because it was a lot of critics and apparently.
Okay, right.
So if you, depending on who you trust.
Yeah. See, I don't know. I don't trust us as movie reviewers.
Certainly not.
But like, I don't necessarily trust anybody who gets the number one, the day one,
the premium
scoop
treatment. Yeah.
I feel that they oftentimes a lot of people who review want to get their tweet in the next round of ads and stuff like that.
100%,
like, it's a tour de force. It's incredible.
DC's best yet.
At BongLord420 or whatever on Twitter. So I don't know. And I also think from time to time we get free movie tickets.
Yeah.
Not always, but sometimes, because we trick people into thinking we're a legitimate review source.
We're going to Pirates tomorrow.
Yes.
Yo-ho,
Mason. If they get back to us, which they may not.
That's right, yeah.
But like, it doesn't concern me, but it is always in the back of my mind that that at some point one of these movie studios is going to find out we exist and listen to a couple of episodes and realize that we've been like rubbishing their movies, like every single movie they've made for like the last two or three years.
Not every, but we rubbish studios specifically a lot.
That's true. Yeah, and I think eventually they're just going to quietly take us off the, the free movie ticket list. And I think there are a lot of reviewers who are like, I love the train. I love the train. I love the free movie tickets.
Yeah, sure.
So no, I'm just going to say good stuff.
Yeah, no, I would say that that's definitely true. But I also know that it has gone the other way, where companies have gone out of their way to invite people who hated previous movies to get them.
Oh, interesting.
To get them along. I don't think that would happen here in Australia.
No,
because nobody gives a fuck about anything or who we are or what anybody's doing.
Yes,
but no, I can absolutely see that. Mm. But also, a lot of these people. These people who go to the premieres and you get a champagne and whatever. We don't have that here as much.
Sometimes we get a bottle of Coke.
Yeah, that's true.
Or a room temperature water.
At Suicide Squad, I got a packet of candied colored popcorn. It was horrendous.
Nice.
Yeah. But
in a way, I think that has maybe colored your opinion of the entire movie. Think back. You didn't like Suicide Squad, but really, perhaps you just didn't like the candy popcorn.
Well, I came out of Suicide Squad and was like, yeah, it was fine. I think I liked it more than a lot of other people. But bearing in mind, I was doing about 3 hours sleep in a row every night for last year. So I don't know whether any of my opinions
are valid anymore, right?
Yeah. As a dad, Mason.
Ah, that's right.
I worked it in. Uh-huh. But no, I want to see it again. We'll do a commentary of it because I want to know if it...
You should do a retrospective in a couple of years once you've actually gotten some sleep and revisit all the stuff you reviewed.
Yeah.
While your child was in their early stages and just be like...
Find out I hate Kingsman.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think a lot of movie critics, though, you can get kind of caught up in... You've seen it. They get caught up. They get to meet Kevin Feige and they stand in front of or whatever.
They're going to say Kevin Sorbo.
They meet Kevin Sorbo. Yeah, but also I think you would get sick of that, and there's also... Mm. You kind of would get over it, I'd imagine, if that's your job professionally. You just, I think you just got to go to reviewers that you like and who you trust.
Agreed,
I think that's the way you got to do it. Yeah. Pick your person.
Pick your poison.
Yeah, and even then...
Pick your porpoise.
Pick a good one. Mm. But even then, you know, obviously form your own opinions also, which people do.
Just keep buying tickets to superhero movies.
So we can keep doing this. So we can keep doing this?
Yes.
Well, this isn't a superhero movie, but what do you think about the War for the Planet of the Apes?
Looks great.
Wooftapota.
Wooftapota.
Yes, that's right. Mm. What do you think? New trailer.
Looks great, yeah.
There's a bad gorilla.
There's a bad gorilla who's been employed exclusively to reload machine guns for the humans.
Yeah.
Looks pretty great. We've got some... Where do these human armies, where do they keep coming from?
Yeah, good
because
question.
Because the level of sophistication.
This one came in on these guys came in on ships at the end of the last movie.
Ah, I see. So this is the reinforcements.
Yeah.
Okay. They're probably from Cleveland.
They could be.
I picked a city at random.
As good as Eddie. They're probably from Dubbo. Yeah. But the have you noticed the armies get meaner as they go
That's
along?
That's true. They do. Yeah.
So
who's meaner than Woody Harrelson? Who are we getting next?
Just a fire? A raging fire?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. No, I don't know. Who is meaner than Woody Harrelson?
I was going to say Powers Booth, but then I remembered
he literally just died.
Yeah,
we should talk about that. Yeah, Powers Booth passed away.
That's disappointing, yeah. He's part of the... he's been in many things, but he's part of... In the Marvel Universe, he's part of the World Security Council. He was seen in shadow in
He's only in the Avengers, isn't he?
No, he's in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as well.
Is he?
We get a... It's revealed in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that he wasn't
wearing pants in that scene.
That's right, yeah. The scandal of it all. But he's on the World Security Council, but he's also a Hydra double agent.
Of course he is. Yeah. They all are.
And most of them are Hydra double agents, yeah.
What season was that? I don't care.
No, it's probably three. Let's say three.
But War for the Wooftapota.
Wooftapota.
You looking forward to it?
I am, yeah.
They've all been pretty good. So obviously the director of this is going to go on to do Batman next, so yeah, I'm rooting for this to
be
good.
Do you think this is going to be a little bit the same as the last one? In the sense that clearly they're gearing up for war and some elements of both sides are going to be like, no, don't be in a war.
No, I think this is, as the title suggests.
Yep.
I think this is all out war.
Okay.
I think the whole, I think it's because the last one kind of built to a war. This is the war.
So there's going to be no peace accords. There's going to be no negotiations.
There'll be no pieces of accord. Correct.
Great.
Yeah.
Just shooting.
Just shooting. So there's people getting captured. Woody Harrelson's doing speeches about don't take it personally.
There's green laser sites. They're big right now.
They're huge right now.
Yeah. We'll talk about it later, but there's a few in, Alien Covenant.
Very chic.
It's very well. Green lasers are very slimming. I don't know if you know that.
Oh, no, I didn't know
that. Yeah, red lasers bit. Red lasers are the horizontal stripes
of lasers.
Yeah, of lasers.
Okay,
yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, don't wear them unless you're very confident.
Okay, I won't. James Mangold has said that Daphne Keane's Laura Kinney, mm-hmm. she wasn't called Laura Kinney in Logan. I think she was just called Laura.
Mm-hmm.
She could return.
Ooh.
And he said he's talked to Fox about having her pop up again. How do you feel about that?
Cool. Cool, man.
I liked her. She was really great. Yep. Do you wait a few years until she's a bit older to kind of base a movie around her? Or how would you do this?
Yeah, maybe. They'll probably wait until they see if she's not an ugly adult actor.
Okay, gotcha.
Before they build a franchise around her, you know what
right.
I mean?
Right, yeah. So it depends which way she goes.
Correct.
Okay, yeah, that's harsh, but probably true.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think there might be something to, what if you made an X-Men movie with kids? And I don't mean like, 25-year-olds pretending to be at school. I mean, like,
gifted.
Yeah, exactly. Gifted. Yeah. I mean, like, kids running from the government, you know, living on the streets and whatever.
Well, they're working on a Runaways TV series.
So yeah, absolutely. Probably, yeah.
Maybe if that's a hit, I reckon they'll probably just, they'll start churning them out.
I have lost track of all the X-Men series and I don't know what's happening anymore. We talked about one before the show, which was
The Gifted, yeah.
Yeah, and what did you say about
it? Well, I said that there's every one of these previews, every one of these trailers has somebody going, if I focus my mind, I can make things move with my mind. It's my gift and maybe I'll teach you how to use the gift. Just say you've got mutant powers. We all know how it works now. It's like a movie with vampires or zombies and nobody says vampire or zombie.
Yeah,
just
exactly.
Say, I think we're fighting zombies like in all those movies and TV shows we've seen that have zombies in them.
That's
just
right.
Just acknowledge it.
It's only Shaun of the Dead, I think, that acknowledges
maybe
that.
Maybe iZombie as well. They probably say zombie
in
that.
Yeah, you're probably right, yeah.
But yeah, just... I don't understand how all these zombie shows take place in a universe where there's never been a zombie TV show.
Well, I guess it's like, you know, superhero movies are set in universes where there's superheroes. I guess it's the same
that's
thing.
That's probably true.
Is it a bit naff to say zombie in a zombie movie?
Maybe it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
It's like they didn't really want to say Superman in Man of Steel.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. But
they were like, it's not even an S, all right? It's something else. God. Leave me alone.
Yeah. Two trailers that I thought we could tie in together. The Orville and Star Trek Discovery. Both of which I thought looked pretty good. Which one do you want to talk about first?
Star Trek Discovery.
Okay. It looks more J.J. Abrams than...
Which raises the question.
It's the original universe.
Oh, it's the original, so it's not it's not the reboot universe.
No.
It's not the most recent three movies.
The Kelvin-iverse.
It's the...
Original timeline, whatever
called.
Yeah, the Kirkiverse.
Kirkiverse.
The one where Kirk comes back.
Shatnerverse. It can't be the Kirkiverse because there's Kirks in both universes. It has to be the Shatnerverse.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, mm-hmm. All right. Yeah.
It's the Shatnerverse and the Pineverse.
What did you think, though?
Looks very nice.
Yeah, it's a good-looking show. I've heard from people who are big Star Trek fans that they're reluctant to kind of get into it because it looks more... Pineverse mm-hmm. than Kirkiverse. There's a lot of lasers and jumping and they want the diplomacy and whatever. But I think there's a good chance that it could be that. This is just the trailer to sell it to everybody.
Yeah, the unwashed masses.
Correct, Mason.
The non-nerds. Again, we've talked about when they rebooted Star Trek, in Australia at least, they had these... They on TV, they had these vox pops where people coming out of the cinema, like regular people, and they're like... Yeah, I liked it. It wasn't for nerds.
Yeah.
It was good. I'm a normal person. They were like, and the ad was like, see, normal people like it. You'll like it too. Not just for dirty nerds. So yeah, you're probably right. It's probably show them some phases, show them some space combat, show them some Klingons. And then the Klingons have a...
Head ridges.
Yeah, newish look.
Yeah, well, that's more kind of in line with what we saw of them in Into Darkness.
Yes.
Because we see them, they look more kind of predator-ish.
Yeah, so in the original Star Trek TV series,
yeah,
they look more like normal humans. They have a smaller ridge.
Yeah.
And then in Star Trek Next Generation and like all the subsequent things, it's much
they
more
elaborate. They hit Worf speed.
Yeah! So it was much more elaborate.
Yeah.
Like makeup. And the in-universe justification was there was like a virus in the Klingon species and it caused further mutations and that's why they look different.
They didn't all just hit their heads on door frames.
Yeah. Well, it was a virus that caused severe confusion.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Oh, really? So they actually explained the physical difference.
Yeah, so...
There you go.
But... So I don't know where this fits in.
Then why do they look like that in...
That's what I'm saying.
The Kirkiverse.
That's
what
I'm talking...
The Pineverse.
That's... I don't know.
Or this-averse.
I don't know. I'm so confused now. I don't even know where we are.
Yeah. But no, I'm looking forward to it. There hasn't been...
Yeah.
People say there hasn't been a good Star Trek series since like the 90s, like a Voyager or whatever, because a lot of people don't count Enterprise.
I don't count Voyager.
Oh, really?
No.
Okay. Well, isn't Voyager the one that people really like? What's the one people really like?
I really like Deep Space Nine.
Yeah, maybe.
Well,
it's
I mean,
that
the gold standard is Star Trek The Next Generation.
Is it, though? Because people say that...
Well, see, that's the thing. Like, people are like, oh, my God, you were saying people love the diplomacy and the what have you.
Yeah.
I think the ones that people remember the most are like the ones with the huge... They remember a few...
Like the Borg War.
Yeah, they remember the Battle of Worf 359, and which is the battle of, you know, against the Borg. And they remember some huge action sequence ones and, you know...
They remember the one where Moriarty tries to get out of the hologram room.
Exactly.
I remember that one.
And there's a few that are kind of like, you know, the deaths of significant characters or, you know, the first episode where Q puts everybody on trial or the one where... They meet an alien race that speak only in metaphor, or you know, there's a few slower paced ones that are remembered, but I think a lot of the ones that are about diplomacy and negotiation kind of disappear.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. But I guess also,
I mean, that's my opinion. There's probably hundreds of episodes that are, but you're wrong, and there's hundreds.
I think your opinion is pretty universal,
Thank
Mason.
Thank you.
Everybody, let him know it on Twitter at Wikipedia Brown if you share a different opinion.
Uh-huh.
But I think also I've heard that the strength of those series is that if there's a war, it builds to a war. It's not just there's a war just happened, like,
right? Yeah,
the whole series or years kind of lead up to to these events, because Picard
yes
goes back, like he becomes assimilated and he comes back and
yep.
whatever. And also they say that the movies, which I think I've seen all of them, The Next Generation, they're very different from the interpretations of the characters in the TV shows. Because they're all kind of double hand fist punching each other.
There's no time for diplomacy.
Yeah,
we've only got
ropes.
2 hours.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't have a whole season for this.
Look, we'll have a bit of faffing about at the start, but then we're doing a war.
And now let's tell jokes and swear.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think
we get one swear. Before we couldn't get a swear. Now we can do one swear.
And then it's just dune buggies and people getting their faces stretched and whatever ends up happening in all those. But as for the Orville from Seth MacFarlane,
yep.
I thought it looked great. I thought it looked very... I've been looking for something kind of Galaxy Quest-esque since Galaxy Quest. I was promised Zoom Academy would be, and it wasn't.
All right, yes.
It was a shithouse.
Yeah, look, I went through a few emotions. I'm like, oh, this could be... Like, this is... Oh, you know, fun little space spoof. This could be kind of funny. And then it went, starring Seth MacFarlane. I went, oh, I forgot about... Ted and Ted 2. Oh, all right. And then it was like directed by Jon Favreau. And I'm like, oh fantastic.
Okay, yeah.
And then... The rest of it was pretty positive. It's fun.
I agree.
Yeah.
And I like the kind of retro feel of it. I mean, it may as well just be Star Trek. You know what I mean? Like just a straight Star Trek.
Yeah, totally. Spoof.
But no, I think this could be, I think there's room for like this, both of these shows to be good in their own particular way. So I'm definitely going to be checking out.
So the Orville is a series, not a movie.
Yes, series.
Great.
Yeah, yeah.
So is Jon Favreau only directing the first episode?
I would say almost certainly.
Okay, right, great.
But he's directed first episodes of shows before that have been cancelled. There's the one where all the technology is gone. Revolution. Did you ever see that?
No. I think that was one. Was that one of those ones that it was, it's a TV series, but also watch it on the web. Watch some webisodes.
Probably.
Watch some mini mobisodes.
Yeah.
I will not. I absolutely refuse.
But no, I think there were some actual good jokes in there, and there's obvious nods to, you know, the Star Trek-averse, the Pine or Kirk-averse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I like the idea that he's one of 1,000 captains.
Yeah, he's not even the best guy.
Yeah, he's just a guy that they have to get captains on these ships.
Yeah, they built too many ships, and they need a warm body to pilot the thing.
To do it.
To captain the thing.
What I find amazing about both of these shows, though, is also they look great.
Yeah, right.
And I know it's just the trailer and maybe it's going to look worse in the end, but on the whole, there is some... I mean, I watched the end of the first David Tennant Doctor Who episode the other day.
Yes.
Where he fights the...
Sycorax.
Sycorax and the big floating spaceship thing in the sky. Yeah. Terrible. I don't know how I didn't see it at the time, but that is just some abysmal shit. And this looks movie quality. If you showed me that Star Trek thing and said this is a movie, then yeah, I would.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So, and the other one looks like Galaxy Quest, which looked really good for the time as well. So TV's come a long way, Mason. Say what you will about it, but it's come a long way.
I agree.
So we're both saying the same thing then.
Yeah, you'd say what you will, but I think our opinions are the same. I don't have any super controversial takes on television, really.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, here we go. Han Solo. It's been revealed what he looks like. He's on set.
They're like, exclusive on set pics. There's one picture.
Yep. The other one's like a ship.
There's one picture of him, and there's a second photo that's been zoomed in.
Yes.
Just in case you don't know who you're looking at.
And it looks terrible. Mm-hmm. He looks terrible. But this is not a good photo.
That's some big hair he's got on.
Yeah, boy.
He's got a scar. What's been happening? Who knows?
Who does know?
There's a nice kind of 1970s, 80s era land speeder of some sort.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Looks kind of cool.
Yeah. But look, he doesn't look exactly like Harrison Ford. He was never going to.
No, that's true.
And the hair is weird, yes. But again, it's taken from a distance. But I don't think that's going to be the problem with this movie, if there is one. It's going to be that it's a weird portrayal that doesn't line up. I don't care if he doesn't sound like him or if he doesn't look exactly like him.
Yep,
I don't even want to see this movie.
Right.
But if it captures the spirit of it or whatever, that's what you got to aim for. You can get a guy who can do an impression that looks exactly like him.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd rather get somebody who has their own take on it and makes it fun and whatnot.
But to be clear, your preferred option is to not watch this at all.
No, that a different... I wish they were making something else.
Right, okay,
but
yeah.
Then also you look at the team behind it and you're like, well, this looks like a lot of fun.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It's the guys who did Lego Movie and whatever.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I think they did 21 Jump Street and whatever. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Make it a fun thing.
We also had, like, grumpy guy wearing a helmet that's too big.
That's
pretty good. I like that.
Mm.
What else do we have in there?
I don't remember anything else about it. There was like four photos, was there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. I think there's going to... When they do release a actual publicity still, people are going to flip out regardless.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because he's not Harrison Ford. There was even complaints that like, he's 5'7". It doesn't matter. Harrison Ford's also not that tall, according to Alec Baldwin.
Uh-huh.
Or he is. I don't know.
In a way, you can fix all that with camera angles.
Camera angles and heels.
Mm. Because I don't know if anybody knows this, but when you watch a movie, you're not actually in the room with any of those actors.
So they're just not
unless
up
you're
real close to
me.
Oh, they're absolutely, yeah. Mm. Would you want to get a photo with Johnny Depp at a premiere?
No.
Just sidle up to him?
Oh,
put
no.
your hand around his scarfed shoulder?
You'd catch something from that scarf.
Definitely would.
Mm.
Yeah.
Probably scabies.
Yeah.
What a pistol and Boo have, you know what I mean?
Are those his dogs?
Those are his dogs, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. They're probably eating a lot of his drugs as well.
Yeah.
They're all scrambled.
That's right.
Yeah. So did you listen to the Spider-Man Homecoming score?
Yes, I did.
Michael Giacchino?
Uh-huh.
What did you think of it, bearing in mind that it sounds just like the Amazing Spider-Man original theme, but updated for a more cinematic experience? Orchestral, like the bird. Am I thinking of Kestrel?
You're thinking of Orchestral. Yeah, yeah.
What do you think?
Look, I enjoyed the fact that it sounded exactly like the 1960s Spider-Man theme, but updated for a modern whatever the thing you said.
A Kestrel.
You said too many... I was hoping to just say the exact same thing you said, but then you said too many things and I lost the thread. So just assume that I did. If you could just take what you said and change the register slightly so it sounds more like me.
So I just auto-tune my own voice so it sounds exactly like you.
Correct. Can you do that?
No.
Oh.
I'll give it a go. No, I won't. Mm. Look, it'll have to be a 5-year project.
Yeah.
So I'll get back to you on that.
If you could.
No, did you actually like it though? You're like, oh, that's a good little nod? Or
yes,
like-
but I think if you throw that in a major action sequence,
yeah,
it sounds a little hokey, doesn't it?
Well, it's a hokey theme. I don't know whether this is the main theme of it.
Maybe they're just messing about.
They could be. They could be, but...
I think if they bury that in another couple more layers... And you're listening, you're watching this action sequence and you go, oh, there's a fun little nod to the original.
Absolutely.
But I think if you put this up as the, if this is the real soundtrack to a genuinely dramatic action sequence, I think people are going to be like, dumb.
I think it could work as the main theme. Like the Batman theme from 89 is a very kind of bombastic and recognizable. I like the original Spider-Man score from the Sam Raimi ones, but I couldn't hum it off the top of my head.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, and I don't remember the Amazing Spider-Man one at all. I remember the Itsy Bitsy Spider bit.
Yeah.
Where he's flying between the pylons of...
Oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah, don't you remember when the Electro shooting lightning at him and striking...
Was it like a dramatic version of it?
Yes.
I think if they made that today, it would be a small child singing it as Gwen Stacy is murdered.
Right.
Probably,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, or a choir. Mm. A choir of small children.
Yeah, a choir, definitely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think this goes into what everything they're doing with this version of Spider-Man. It's all a throwback to the original. Like a lot of the stuff they... A lot of the stuff that they even left out of the Raimi trilogy, they're bringing back. A lot of the original stuff, even that hologram thing in his his wrist, the costume, the eyes, a lot of it is very
web
early.
Shooters.
Yeah, web shooters. A lot of it's very early era Spider-Man.
Chubby Asian sidekick.
Yep. Very early era Spider-Man.
So early.
I don't think there was an Asian man in comics without a big moustache.
No, absolutely
until
not.
Until 1984. Yeah. But no, it all bodes well for this movie. I just wish I didn't see the trailer.
Same, yeah.
Yeah.
Yesterday I saw Alien Covenant and there was the Spider-Man Homecoming trailer. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. The ship and the moves and the bloody and his sidekick figures out his identity and then he's got trouble at school and then
Michael Keaton.
Don't do anything I wouldn't do, but don't do anything I would do. There's a grey area bit. And it's all fun, but yeah.
Yeah, it is. It looks great. I want to see the ship split in half and... But then I don't want to know that Iron Man puts it back together. Other Sony Spider-Man news, sort of.
Yes.
Tom Hardy is Venom.
Whoop.
He is.
Yes.
Apparently he's a big fan of the character. They put a picture on Instagram or Twitter where he's wearing a t-shirt.
He's wearing
that
a t-shirt,
proves it.
Yeah.
That proves it.
That's right.
He's got a shaved head. What's
you can't
he
wear
to?
A Venom t-shirt unless you're a huge fan of Venom.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Have you worn one before?
No.
You're not a huge fan though,
exactly,
are you?
Exactly, exactly.
But you're okay with him. But he's not wear a t-shirt worthy, is that what you're saying?
I tell a lie, I have worn a Venom t-shirt.
You sack of shit.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, it's going to be directed by Ruben Fleischer, who did Zombieland.
Yep, okay.
And he also did Gangster Squad, which I haven't seen.
I didn't see Gangster Squad.
Apparently it's terrible.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but
are they a squad of gangsters or are they a squad to take down gangsters?
That's a good question.
Here's a question for you. Are the Hat Squad four hats or against hats?
Who are the Hat Squad?
I'll answer your question. They're four hats. They wear hats.
Who are the Hat Squad?
The Hat Squad was I'm sure we've talked about this show before.
I don't think so.
The Hat Squad was a TV show about like three young men who were following in the footsteps of their detective father. And he wore hats. So they all wore hats. They all wore a hat. They were like, imagine like 90s teens, but they're all wearing hats.
What, like fedoras?
Yes.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not difficult to imagine that.
No, certainly not. Mm-hmm. This is due out October 5th of 2018, so a bit over a year away. Mm-hmm. And also, Venom will hail from Sony's Marvel Universe of characters and will not be a spin-off of the current Marvel Cinematic Universe, whereas Sony are allowing Marvel to use Spider-Man. So forget what you know about Tom Holland's Spider-Man.
This ain't your grandpappy's Venom.
No. Or is it?
Mm.
Yeah, so it's not connected to the Marvel Universe. Sony are still hell-bent on building their own Spider-Man universe without Spider-Man using Spider-Man spin-off characters, even though they already tried it and they ruined it immediately. They didn't even get to one spin-off.
Yeah, right?
So there you go.
Yeah, incredible.
Yeah. So I like the casting.
Yeah.
I like the director. I haven't seen Gangster Squad, so who knows. But
does this mean that they're going to... Do you think that Tom Hardy is going to be Venom in place of Spider-Man? Maybe that's what
I think
they're
going to do Agent Venom. I think they're
going
to... Venom's origin and a lot of his... Most of his... All of his early stories revolve around him beating up Spider-Man.
Yes.
And if there's no... Unless they do they cast another Spider-Man, which is...
No, surely
which will not.
Happen. That'd be very embarrassing.
Yeah.
Like, we've totally talked about the TV series Birds of Prey.
Yes.
Which is a Batman spin-off. But Batman is not... He's in the opening title sequence and that's it kind of thing. It's just embarrassing the way they always have to keep alluding to this character but they never show the character.
Yeah.
And if they do that in this, it's just going to be embarrassing. If they keep having to, oh, look out, Spider-Man's going to get you, but he never shows up.
Absolutely.
So I think they're just going to have to go,
he's a war vet.
Also, do you think it's going to be Eddie Brock or do you think it's going to be Flash Thompson?
I think it's going to be Eddie Brock.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess they can combine the two. They could be like, okay,
yeah,
Eddie Brock
could,
is a war vet and yeah, totally. Okay. Mm.
I think they'll go with Eddie Brock for the name recognition,
yep.
But they'll bring in elements of of Flash Thompson. Yeah, I think they'll take the best elements.
He's a 39-year-old man who's beating up teens at a high school. they had the school bully element, and that's it.
Well, that was one thing that struck me with the casting was...
Because he's twice Tom Holland's
age.
Yeah,
he is. Which again, and that's when I didn't actually realize straight away that this wasn't connected. Mm-hmm. So if it was, that's a weird choice.
Yes.
Then again, Michael Keaton's like 70 years old, but he doesn't have to be the same age as...
Yeah, right.
He's in the comics, he's not the same. Vulture's not the same age as Spider-Man. Mm. But yeah, I don't... Look, even if this is good, Sony are going to fuck this up.
Oh, absolutely.
Like,
they are,
they might do a couple of good ones, but it's a matter of time before they do. Yeah. I mean, I guess I want to see a good Venom movie. Do you?
Yeah, I do.
Maybe they bring in Carnage? Maybe they do a Venom Carnage movie?
They could do Venom Carnage? Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Someone tweeted this, and I'm sorry, I don't have this in front of me. But, I do have it in front of me.
All right.
Tommy West says, do you think Tom Hardy is a good Venom?
Yes.
And
I think also regardless, like if he's Flash Thompson already, Brock.
Yeah, it wouldn't matter, fine, yeah. And who would you cast as Carnage?
Jackie O'Haley.
David Tennant.
Oh, that's good too.
Thank you. Yeah. I don't know if he could do the accent.
Yeah.
Because his American accents are... Because he's Southern, isn't he?
Yeah,
Cletus
yeah.
Cassidy.
I was going to say Jackie O'Haley because he's got the thin, weird face.
He's got the weird face of a man in prison.
Exactly. But also he's quite small.
Yeah.
So they could CGI all the weird limbs around him. Just weird flailing
limbs.
Yeah,
they stand him
you
on a...
You just have him hold some sticks.
And stand him on a box.
Yep,
exactly. And then just flail about.
Yeah.
Yeah, so no, I look, I like a lot of this, but I have no faith in Sony to pull this off in the long term.
But that's the thing, and also, Spider-Man's Rogues Gallery is so big, and he's gone on so many adventures and what have you. It's such ripe ground if they were any good at this, but they're not.
And look forward to the Silver Sable movie that's... Silver Sable Black Cat movie that they're also
now,
making.
I was informed recently because there's going to be a Silver Sable Black Cat series, and I said a few weeks ago, when was the last time Silver Sable was even in a comic book? Because the last time I remember seeing her in a comic book was like in the 90s, but apparently she showed up like in April in a Spider-Man comic.
In
so,
your face, Mason.
In my face.
You're
in
an
my
idiot.
Face. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
When picking a commerce platform for your business, you got two choices. Oh, this piece of mother... Or... Sales. I definitely prefer... Don't you? Because that's a sound you'll hear when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that's supercharging your selling wherever you sell, online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Shopify is the best all-in-one commerce platform capable of handling your business's complexity no matter how big you grow. Step up to Shopify and harness the best converting checkout and the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. For example, Ruggable, Nyx, Magnolia, Cotton, and so many more. Now you're probably thinking, sure, But migrating is going to be a headache. The Shopify App Store has the migration apps that you need to migrate your products, orders, customers, and more from every e-commerce platform to Shopify. And maybe you're one of those people who are like, hey, don't put me in a box. I don't want to be in this box, either metaphorically or for real. Thankfully, Shopify never will, because with Shopify, you can control your brand and business from your storefront look to your back office operations. You know what's really annoying? When you're checking out from an online store and you have to put in all your payment details and all sorts of numbers and letters and whatnot. Well, with the Shopify store, they actually remember my shipping address or your shipping address if you were using yours, plus the payment information. So say if I'm on the couch and my wallet is in the kitchen, I didn't even have to get up, which is my favorite thing. Stop leaving sales on the table, switch your business to Shopify, and discover why millions trust Shopify as their all-in-one commerce platform to build, grow, and run their business. So sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/weeklyplanet, all lowercase. That's 1 month for just $1 at shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Cha-ching sound effect.
All right. Shit. All right. Okay. Alien Covenant.
Yes.
At a 40 million US opening, which is solid. That's at a 97 million budget.
Okay.
So it'll easily make its money back. Because it had, it's actually this.
But it probably shouldn't.
Actually, there's $40 million less on the budget than Prometheus, which I didn't actually notice to the film's credit. It's.
I think it looks better.
I agree. Mm-hmm. Maybe because there's more.
Anyway, that's all the nice things we can say about this movie.
I was going to ask you. You obviously not a fan.
No, look, I think it looked great. Yep. I think
it's cast well.
I think the way they've attempted to shoehorn this into the existing alien mythos, I actually think is quite inventive. But I know a lot of people would be like, oh, this is so contrived and garbage.
And it's also wrong. It also contradicts shit, which we'll get to in spoilers. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
And look, I think the most obvious thing, and I'm sure you've had this thought as well.
Yeah.
It's a movie populated by the dumbest people alive.
Yes, that's right.
Soon to be dead.
And the thing is, look, we'll get into it.
Specifically the dumbest scientists alive.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're not all scientists, but when you look and... Yeah, hang on, we'll just get into it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Look, before we do that, though, we'll go non-spoilers and then spoilers. We'll clearly mark it. There'll be timestamped. There's a... All the stuff that I really want to say about this,
yes,
I can't say.
It's in spoilers.
So it's mostly me going, just biting my tongue.
Right, okay, wow.
Until that happens. Mm-hmm. But we also did we're starting up Caravan of Garbage again.
Yes, we are.
But for the moment, just video games, because we can do a whole bunch at once and record them. Mm-hmm. So I've got
you got a little doohickey.
Correct. Mm-hmm. We've done the first one for Aliens Arcade from 1990. Mm-hmm. The aim is, so it's like a bonus kind of Weekly Planet episode every week. It goes up on my YouTube channel, mm-hmm. Mr. Sunday Movies. I'll link it below. So we had a great play, a good fun time playing yes. through all of that. Mm-hmm. And we're going to try and do video games that roughly tie into whatever's happening that week. So
yeah, right.
This week we did a Pirates of the Caribbean one. Mm-hmm. So they're either going to be out depending, unless I do a video. So this week I'm going to do a Pirates review in the next couple of days.
Yep.
And then that video will go up on Thursday. But normally we'll try to get it up earlier in the week. So roughly there'll be videos on my channel Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday.
Nice.
That's the idea. Mm-hmm. And we've got a whole bunch of them kind of banked up, don't we, that we're getting edited from Ben and Matt, who are sorting that out. So those are some good
dudes. Those two are fighting it out.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Did you enjoy going playing video games?
I did.
We finally figured out a way to do a whole bunch in a row without...
Losing our minds and breaking things.
Exactly, yeah.
You'd think it'd be more user-friendly at this point.
Well, it is now.
Yeah, sure.
I've ironed out most of the kinks. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Mason, what did you think the story was of Alien Covenant?
Ah, you distracted me with video game talk. All right, hang on. So, all right. So it's post-Prometheus.
Yes.
And it's years later.
10 years!
10 years! 10 years to the very day! Why, there hasn't been an alien in this haunted house for many a year.
I haven't seen a Prometheus around these parts in nigh of a decade. Mm. Nigh on a decade.
Nigh the decade.
Go on.
So now the human ship, the Covenant, is on a mission to go to a planet they hear is pretty good for...
That's the word.
To terraform... To create a new colony of humans, because apparently we've ruined the Earth again.
But apparently, then things get a little bit terrified instead.
Instead of terraformed.
Correct. Mm. For all its flaws, I wasn't like, this is offensively bad. It's just there's a lot of missed potential here and really stupid characters.
There's so many stupid characters. I feel, look, I like the look of it.
Yep.
I think they've done quite well in like dovetailing the super pretty kind of super technology of like the last movie into like the rotten future of the original Alien films.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think the characters are so stupid in this film. Like, and I think there are tense moments in the film.
Yep.
And some of the action looks good.
Agreed.
And I think some of the alien designs look really good.
Yep.
But also, I think that the characters are so dumb that it overwhelms every element. So anytime I see a tense moment, I'm like, yeah, that was pretty tense, but if these characters weren't so stupid, they would never have been put in this situation
Correct.
In the first place.
I've made a list, but I'll save it for for spoilers. Uh-huh. That's we are on the same page for this in a big way.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's got the same problems with Prometheus, maybe even a little bit more amplified in some cases. It's cast really well.
Yes.
But like you said, stupidest characters in the world. But like I love Danny McBride in this.
Uh-huh.
He was easily my favorite person in this. Fassbender's great. Double Fassbender.
What about current Ripley?
She's okay. Yeah. I wouldn't say she's amazing. Mm-hmm. She's pretty good.
I think Fassbender's performance is pretty good in the sense that he has to play as with every, because he's a synthetic in this he is in the previous one. He has to toe the line between, is he a good guy or is he a bad guy? What's going on? What's he been programmed to do this time? Is he going to betray them? Is he going to work with them kind of thing?
Well, it goes in order. So if you just look at the order of the films they came out, it's good Android, bad Android, good Android. Good. So just think of it that way.
But at the same time, like, if you've never seen one of these movies before, they kind of telegraph, like, the first scene in the movie, you're given David from the original movie, and his creator, Guy Pearce, is like, why don't you play a song on the piano? And he's like, I'll play white supremacist Richard Wagner.
Yes.
And I'm a weird...
Man.
What am I a bad guy? I reckon I am.
That's not a spoiler, I guess, because it's the very first sequence.
Uh-huh.
But as soon as you turn that guy on, shut him off.
Yeah,
he's clearly... There's something way off
about
that robot.
Yeah. And again, that's not really a spoiler because he's in Prometheus.
That's right. And also the promo material spoils his role in this film in a big, massive way, which we'll, I guess, if you haven't seen it, we'll save that more for spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
So for Fast and Furious, right?
Yes.
Those are not intelligent movies.
Uh-huh.
But Fast and Furious is very aware of what it is.
Yes.
It's a bunch of dumb people, mostly bald, sliding around on car bonnets and jumping over submarines. Or whatever. This, as I said in my review, it masquerades as like high concept sci-fi and the ethical dilemmas about what it means to be human and blurring the line and exploring other planets and colonization and whatnot. But then it is undercut by, like you said, the dumbest people that you could possibly send into space.
Yeah, right.
And there's also a really jarring cut between, I find, when this movie shifts between from Prometheus to Alien.
Yeah.
It's like a scene and then you're like, oh, now we're doing Alien.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
The first three quarters is Prometheus and then in the last 20, 30 minutes they wedge an Alien movie there. And I don't think that transition is as seamless as it possibly could have been. And I also don't think that this story was the one they were going to tell from Prometheus. It feels like a lot of this is, oh shit, what people didn't like about the last movie was there was no xenomorph.
Yeah, right.
That's not what people didn't like about that movie.
Mm.
They liked a lot of the stuff. They liked a lot of the new world building and the new characters. And I don't think people were angry that there was no xenomorph in it. They were angry that you put a weird proto xenomorph that had no impact on the future of the franchise.
That's true.
That movie could have been completely xenomorph free.
Yeah, you're right.
It doesn't matter. That's not the problem with these movies because you're building towards the xenomorph. We know that. You said you were going to do a trilogy or 10 movies.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
One a year till he dies.
That's right, exactly. But I also think if you're doing the alien elements of it, there's the gore and the blood and there's some great kind of chest burster scenes and there's a few variations on that. But none of it is, and maybe it's because I'm older and I've kind of seen this before.
As a father,
it's not particularly scary, is it? There's nothing shocking as when you look at that original alien chest burster scene, you cannot top that. Even though it kind of, you can see it's a weird little puppet.
Yep.
And this one, they can actually unfold and crawl around.
But I also think that this movie definitely telegraphed all the Like, it's all, everything that's happened, everything that happens. And again, it's tied into how stupid the characters are.
Yeah.
Every element there is telegraphed. It's like,
you know who's got the chest burst yeah, or, don't, or whatever.
You shouldn't have done that. Don't look in there. Don't stand there. Yeah. What were you thinking?
Why are you ducking off for a smoke?
Yeah, yeah.
Crazy. Did you like the, so you liked the new designs?
Yes.
I didn't think there was anything better than the original Alien. But it's nice to see, I guess, some variations but I
think
on.
The, yeah, but I also think the original Alien. See, that's the thing. We do have. I think there was. There is a new design in this that I think was quite effective in.
Okay.
In building tension, I think.
All right, fair enough.
But it's.
Do you want to save that for spoilers?
Yeah, let's save it for spoilers. Yeah.
I don't because I'm not sure which one you specifically.
Yeah,
mean.
But I also think that the Alien in this does look very good.
Yeah, totally.
Like it's the best it's ever looked. I
think. 100% Yeah, absolutely. And there's also throwbacks to kind of, when you do see it, there's throwbacks to the original Alien where it does walk a bit more upright.
Mm.
You know, it's got that kind, because the first one was kind of lanky and kind of guy in a suit. And
yeah,
this
right,
has
uh-huh.
kind of shades of that with some CGI touches so the legs are thinner and it can kind of shimmy about and whatnot. But I also feel like they burnt through Aliens really quickly. You know, it wasn't quite Aliens where there was a whole lot at once. It was yes. like, we got that one. Oh, there's another one. We got that one. Oh, there's another one. We got that one. Like that happened like 5 or 6 times in this movie.
Uh-huh.
Not that we need to see either 100 aliens or one.
Right.
You know, I just thought that was kind of a weird way to do it. I know they're going to make these more at least. Another one's filming next year.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to see them keep tying this into a knot. That's where I want this to. Where I want this to go. If you hate Alien vs. Predator and Alien 3 and whatever, this is as flawed in those movies but in a different way. They just look shinier and they're cast
true.
Better.
This has got a better cast and more pretense that it's like you said earlier. It's about God and the origin of life in the universe or whatever. Whereas Alien vs. Predator is kind of just like shooty shooty.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
yeah, exactly.
And that I don't think that's a great film by any stretch. But but they've both got they're both flawed in their own kind of ways.
Mm.
Worst movie ever.
Mm, yeah, I agree.
I don't hate it. I just don't know what they're doing. Spoilers?
Mm. Spoilers.
What was the design that you liked?
Oh, I liked the white aliens.
The Neomorph.
Yeah, the Neomorph. Is that what it's called?
I don't know. I
there's the
so.
Scene where there's the fully grown one and we see David kind of trying sort of communicating with it in some way. I thought that like the way that it breathed and kind of
And
that sunken chest kind of thing, I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Mm. No, I'd agree with that.
Yeah.
I don't think that's better than the original Alien design, but it's nice to kind of see something new that's not horrendous.
Yeah.
Like that human alien hybrid from
So here's the thing that I did enjoy about this and that I think a lot of people will probably be like, oh, that's contrived and dumb. I actually like the idea that David created so many alien hybrids that he eventually ended up creating the original alien.
Sure.
I thought that was good.
Yeah.
Because the idea being that the alien is this, we're like, oh, it's a, you know, it's obviously it's always been a biological weapon of some sort.
Yeah.
And we've thought that it's these engineers that created it to destroy us or to create this bioweapon or like to, maybe they sell it to people or they use it to conquer worlds or whatever. I like the idea that Guy Pearce creates David, who creates these aliens that eventually are going to destroy us.
Because David's purpose is to learn and create and build.
Mm-hmm.
And that was obviously the flaw in his programming, because if you're left alone in a cave with a whole bunch of alien goo, then that's what you're going to do.
Yeah.
Like if you left him alone with the piano, he probably would have made a really sinister piano.
Yeah, if you leave him alone with a recorder, he does some sexy recorder stuff with other Fassbender.
Boy, does he.
Mm, oh, my.
You know the line, you're talking about that line?
What's he say again?
Let me do the fingering.
That's
or something
right.
That got
yeah.
a laugh in.
Yeah, absolutely. Why wouldn't it have?
Is it supposed to?
No. I doubt it.
Yeah.
I don't think Ridley Scott is aware of.
You're probably right.
Yeah.
I quite like that scene, though. I quite like a lot of the David stuff. And I agree with you that I like the idea if you leave one of these lunatic robots alone, this is what he's going to do.
Yeah.
Because that's what he's programmed for.
Yeah, and I also like the idea because, I don't know, I guess it's a nod to H.R. Giger that. Because, you know...
Well, he's got all the sketches.
He's got all the etchings and stuff like that. I'm like, I like the idea that, you know, a human created all these monstrous artistic creations.
Right, right.
And now it turned out humanity in its way created the actual monsters.
Sure.
Like the final form, he's this ultimate alien xenomorph monster he created.
But what I do have a problem with...
But I can see the idea of people going like, So it's...
Well, why can't it just exist as
yeah,
is?
Yeah, why did man create... But I mean, yeah, like, yeah, I guess.
But what I didn't like about that, though, was that the ship that they discover, and this is where some continuity comes in, the original Alien, has been there for thousands, potentially millions of years.
Yeah, right.
There's one fossilized into a chair, and they have facehuggers there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, unless David went there and put them all there, which I guess is possible, or that he managed to stumble upon a form of these aliens at the same way that the engineers.
Oh, that's too much of a stretch, which means that's how they're going to do it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess, was this, this wasn't exactly revealed in the prologue material, but when he shows up on the engineers' planet and he kills them all.
Yeah.
Potentially he, after this, maybe he goes and he hunts down the rest of the engineers.
I guess so, because there was only like a few thousand of them.
Yeah. Maybe he goes to hunt down the rest of the engineers because they're like, well, maybe they'll build a countermeasure against this alien. So he goes and he plants the xenomorph eggs in their ship and he kills the rest of them. And then that's what Ripley's crew finds.
But then why is it fossilized into the chair? This is set like 10 years before the first Alien or whatever it is,
yeah,
10, 20 years.
I don't know, man.
You know? And it's got a big hole in its chest, meaning something came out of it.
That's
maybe
true.
It wasn't the original alien, but I think they've really tied themselves into a knot
they
with
this. They kind of have now that you think about
which
it.
Which I love. Mm. What I also don't understand about this xenomorph is, right?
Yes.
Okay, so...
But I also like the idea that he built so many delivery methods for everything. Now it goes in your ears, now it goes in your nose, now this comes out your back, now it comes out your chest.
Yeah, see, I don't even know whether he did do that or whether that was just a byproduct of that stuff being in the universe.
Yeah, right.
You get some on some mushrooms and that's what it does.
Yeah, right.
But I don't understand why his version of the ultimate alien, which is somehow build an egg out of the entrails of a human woman, which I presume what he did,
yes,
is what he did. Mm-hmm. I don't know that. It wasn't really made clear. Because there's a lot of those eggs that he built somehow. Mm-hmm. So then there's a weird spider in there. So then you get another person to put their face over it, and then it jumps on them and lays an egg in them, and then an alien bursts out. How is that better or more efficient than a mushroom you stand on and a spore goes in your ear, and then 10 minutes later an alien bursts out?
That's true.
Why is that one better than the other one?
Because this one's a cooler alien.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right, isn't it?
But also, you're right, we didn't mention it earlier, but I thought it was very odd that the chest bursted in now is just a tiny version of the alien.
Yeah, because it used to be a little penis, pink penis rattle.
Yeah, a little
yellow,
penis snake thing, right? Yeah, and then it's scurried off.
That's technology kind of upgrading, I guess. Mm. Yeah, did you like the bit where it came out and put its hands up?
It did a little jazz hands. Yeah, I love that
I
bit.
Think that's got to be like a meme.
That'll
or a
be
joke.
Very soon.
As soon as I saw that, I'm like, oh, that's a mistake. Also, what is the gestational cycle of an alien in terms of how long it stays in a person? Billy Crudup had one in him for...
Like 10 minutes.
10 minutes. Ripley had one in her in Alien 3 for days. Bearing in mind that that was a queen, so it probably takes longer. But then you look at William Hurt's one was maybe a few hours.
Yeah.
It varies kind of movie to movie. Yeah. I'm just confused by...
I'm not overly hung up by that.
No, absolutely not.
It might depend on your body fat level.
It could very well. Mm. So if you've got a low BMI...
Yeah.
Is that what that is?
It's quick.
It's
Billy
quick.
Crudup looks like he's got a low BMI.
Ripped as.
Yeah. I keep confusing him with... Jim Caviezel.
Okay, sure.
So I'm like, oh, because there's all the Christ parallels. That's why they've got Jim Caviezel. And then I'm like, oh, no, it's Billy Crudup.
See, I even like that element of the Billy Crudup character where he was like, well, I'm a religious man and that's why I wasn't made captain. That's why they don't respect me and whatever. No, they don't respect you because you're kind of a dick.
Yeah,
like,
right,
and that's,
exactly.
And that's the reasoning behind it. But I like the idea that you've got these different people to go out to colonize this planet, you know? I wasn't even sure at first whether... So the embryos there, I'm presuming this is what it was. The embryos in the drawers,
yes,
they're for new life, and everybody who's just hanging in a shelf are frozen humans who are fully grown. That they defrost them and they're ready to go.
Yes,
is that the idea?
Yes.
Okay, good, excellent. Yeah. Right. Okay, here's some dumb stuff. They intercept a message of an ancient Earth song from a planet that had
John
remained.
Denver.
Yep, that
yes.
had remained hidden. For inexplicable reasons.
Uh-huh.
And so they decide to change the entire course of where they're going to go to this uncharted system because they heard a song which shouldn't be on a planet that they didn't know was there because it was not there prior.
Is your question why couldn't they just send like a probe or a drone or something?
I don't understand why every single person didn't go, this seems like a trap.
Yeah, right.
One of them did. New Ripley did. But everybody else was like, no, this seems legit. Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
no
right.
one was, no, what, nobody said,
yes.
why is there this song playing from this planet?
Yeah, right.
Nobody said that,
yeah,
which
true.
Is insane.
Yeah. And nobody said, oh, look at this wheat. This is definitely
exactly.
wheat.
Exactly. Well, the guy said, this is wheat, and it's set out like it's farming.
Mm.
And nobody said, do you think there might be some kind of people or something alive here? There must be, right?
And they just went, hey, let's go down to this planet. Should we wear spacesuits?
No. Nah. Are you kidding me? Mm. Just because there's oxygen, as I said in my review, doesn't mean there's not viruses, which there was.
Yeah.
And then there's people splitting up. They're splitting up in caves. One guy, he just goes off to have a dart. Just dart up wherever, mate. You're on a planet. You can do whatever you want. You're outdoors.
Yeah, right.
Everyone darts up in the alien movies. Mm. Remember the first alien? People are just darting up on the ship. Just punching darts,
just punching durries. That's right.
There's another bit where the guy who's the alien's going to spring out of his back, right? And he's just spitting and spraying blood everywhere.
Yeah, right.
And then she goes to give him a hug. Yep. And he's just like convulsing and spraying blood all over the room.
Madness. At one point she leans into his back wound, his pulsating back wound, just like, ooh. And there's so many moments in this where you're like, just stand up and back. Don't run. Why are you running directly over that pool of blood?
Yeah, that's
right.
You
gotta slip in that.
And there's obviously the Billy Crudup bit where he puts his face over the egg. But what's even stupider about that moment when I actually saw the movie was that that's after he sees David interact with an alien, which David is trying to protect, even though it's just bitten the head off a woman. Mm. And he shoots it to death and David has a big fucking hissy fit about it.
Yeah.
And then David goes, you know what? I'll come and show you what I'm doing.
Right. Yeah.
Hey, come and
trust me.
Yeah, put your face over this egg. It's completely fine.
Again, it's
he does it.
Yeah. Again, so here's the thing. If you exist in the Alien universe, you haven't seen the Alien films.
Mm.
But surely you've seen something
yes.
that would suggest to you, maybe don't lean into the pulsating egg.
On the advice of an insane robot.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
Also, the viral marketing, and we talked about this before, and I said, I'm okay with the viral marketing as long as it kind of adds to the film without spoiling elements of it and whatever. It does spoil elements.
Yep,
it flat out spoils elements. It spoils that David's evil because you see him loading up the ship and he's going to, because there's that he talks about when, oh, and I accidentally deployed the weapon and they all were killed.
Yep.
I've seen the footage that you didn't do that, you know, that's not what happened. You clearly did it on purpose. And the other bit was, what is it? No, sorry, the crew bonding time.
Yeah, right.
I feel like this movie kind of needed that.
Yeah, because we don't care about... Yeah, there's not a lot to humanize these characters. We know they're couples and that some of them love some of the other ones and they're like, hey, don't stay away from my wife, haha, kind of thing.
Yeah, and I like Danny McBride.
Yeah, sure.
He was
good.
But
if they'd put that scene in there, we'd be more inclined to care when they're all killed.
Yeah, it wasn't... The movie wasn't too long where if you put that in, it would have been like, oh, geez, get along.
I thought it was quite brisk.
And the thing is, I know when you have characters in Alien, and a lot of people have made this defense that, well, the characters in Alien they're also idiots because they're putting their face over whatever.
Uh-huh.
When he put his face over the egg, he had a helmet on, right?
Yes.
And it burnt through it regardless.
Yes.
Or jumped through it.
Uh-huh.
Also, they're truckers. They're not scientists.
Yeah, right.
All of these people are most of them are some variation on scientists.
Mm.
Or some just build log cabins.
I was speaking of continuity. This is a letter from Garrett, weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com.
Very good.
And he said, his question is, given that David, whilst on the planet, created the classic alien egg, that would mean that the history we're shown in the first Alien versus Predator never happened, as it said that the Predators used the humans from the time of the Aztecs to make aliens for hunting.
Right.
So there's another continuity.
Are those movies in continuity at all?
Yeah, you'd think so.
Yeah, I guess they are. Amazing. Yeah.
I mean, there's not enough. It's not like there's 100 Alien films and they're like, well, don't count those ones. Or there's been a million reboots. There's only half a dozen, so.
Exactly.
Mm.
You've done it again, Garrett.
Mm-hmm.
Also, did you think, why's David kissing everyone? Stop kissing everyone.
Yeah, stop kissing everyone, you weirdo.
Okay, what I did like... No,
Do you think what ultimately turned David insane...
Was all the kissing?
The kissing, certainly, because he was kiss crazy.
He was.
Like a kiss crazy girl. But right in the opening scene, Guy Pearce creates... First of all, finally we got the payoff. Why did you hire Guy Pearce and put him in old man makeup? Here it is. It's in the prequel.
Brilliant.
Do you think what turned him insane is right in the opening sequence, Guy Pearce is there, he activates David, and then he's like, hey, pass me that tea. Which is right next to him on the chair. And so David has to stop playing the piano and walk all the way across the room, pour the tea, and then hand it to him, the tea that's a foot away from Guy Pearce.
I think that definitely added to
him. Yeah, but I think he's like, humanity needs to die.
Yeah.
Because this is a waste of my time. And
It's like the robot that fetches butter.
Yeah, because it seemed cruel and mean to be like, stop what you're doing, this ultimate marvel of technology, and pour this tea that I could easily pick up and do myself.
Absolutely.
I think that's what did it.
You know, so there's a David twist as well.
Yes.
Where I like the Walter and David dynamic.
Yep.
I like that Walter didn't have that in him to create, like he wasn't built that
yeah,
way.
Right, uh-huh.
And I also like the way when it came down to them, they were fighting. Walter was missing a hand,
yes,
but he was more skilled in combat.
Yeah, that was
and
good.
David is an older model, but he has both of his hands. And he's also a bit more ruthless. He knows, yes, well, he thinks he knows how to shut. He knows how to hit a robot's weak point.
Yeah,
so
I guess
they both do. On the back of that fight, you don't see Walter smash David's head in. And then the next shot you see of Walter, who's clearly David, he's yes, giving a sinister look.
Yeah, right.
And then we're supposed to be surprised at the end when it's revealed that David has torn off his own arm and replaced Walter on the ship.
Yeah, and it's interesting. There's no way to check that. Like, if all the...
The ship's computer should recognize...
Yeah, right.
I'd assume.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, it's made apparent that when you put a flute through Walter's neck, he self-repairs.
Yes.
Somebody on that ship should probably have realized that the robot that came back on board was covered in scratches.
Yeah, right.
And maybe they didn't know that Walter yeah, could self-repair.
Uh-huh.
But also, he got stabbed in the chin with a nail, which is probably some kind of Christ allegory.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. Uh-huh. But that scar yes, wasn't there.
Mm.
Which, did he repair that but don't leave know, the others?
But also, what he had to do there was David would have had to kill Walter.
Yep.
Then cut off one of his own hands.
Yep.
And then change his outfit.
Yes.
Maybe you change your outfit before you cut off one of your own hands.
Maybe, yeah. You probably would.
And then catch up with the rest of them. Surely that would take more than the 30 seconds that he did it in.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, he's a robot. He's very
efficient,
isn't he?
Yeah.
God.
Yeah. And another thought about that. What was it?
Well, I've got a thought or
okay,
two
right,
thoughts.
Uh-huh.
Well, first of all, I thought that was the way it was going to go.
Yeah.
That it was clearly not Walter.
Yeah.
But I thought there was going to be a fake out because they telegraphed
yeah,
it so heavily that
yeah,
I thought the twist was going to be something else. Either it be that the movie leaves it ambiguous as to whether
yeah,
or not...
Yeah, I thought maybe two as well.
It's
yeah,
David or Walter, but it's clearly just David. Or something in Walter snapped and he came around to David's way of thinking.
Right,
because
yeah,
that's what David was trying to do, was trying to teach him how to create and
yeah,
do
right,
whatever
uh-huh,
and be more like him and kind of throw off the shackles of his programming.
Yeah, right.
But it's neither of those things.
Neither of those things.
It's just David.
David. Yeah, you would think that they're... Because if all the if there's this same model of Android all the time,
mm,
like it always looks the same, surely there's a device you can just be like, which one are you? Beep.
Yes.
Beep. Beep. Oh, you're a different one. Okay.
And you would think you would check to see whether that's Walter or not.
Especially since there's been an evil robot that looks exactly like him that is trying to kill you. Maybe you probably would.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would.
Me too.
I'm not an expert.
Yeah. You could literally even be like, hey, what did I have for breakfast yesterday?
Yeah.
Oh, you don't know? You're the other guy.
Exactly.
Okay, you're dead.
But she does do that after she's being sedated and,
yeah,
she's,
right?
and she's in a glass case
yeah,
or,
yeah,
or whatever. James Franco caught fire, didn't he?
He sure did.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
He is pretty. That's pretty good. But I think that chin thing, though, I hate to get back to it, it really bothers me because David is clearly not self-repairing.
Yes.
Or at the very least, because he doesn't even know that Walter can repair.
Yeah.
But he did, that scar under his chin wasn't, it's not there. I looked for it.
Right.
Because that was one of the things to see. I wanted to know whether or not that was, which robot that was. And that kind of threw me as in, what the hell is happening? So is there no explanation for that? Can he repair just his chin but not his face?
Right. Just neck level repairs. Yeah.
I don't know. I got some reviews here.
Okay, I'm ready.
This is from Joel Allen. It's on Twitter, hashtag WeeklyPlanetPod. Hey guys, big fan.
Oh, nice.
Just saw Covenant, was a bit disappointed. Is it just me or was the David Walter twist all too obvious?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Maybe the initial plan was for something else.
Maybe.
But they're like, oh, we've got him here. And
just... I think the initial plan for this movie was something else.
Yeah, right.
And they went, oh, it's not enough like Alien.
Mm.
This is from Daniel Davis. Alien Covenant was terrible. With all its flaws, the biggest that I felt was that I didn't care for the characters.
Mm.
Yeah, fair call.
Also, I kind of think that new Ripley as Ripley, as action hero Ripley, kind of came out of nowhere in the third act.
Right.
Did you
yeah,
feel that? It's like,
yeah,
she was mostly ineffectual for most of the movie.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not about action or doing anything. I just want to...
Just let me build my cabin.
Yeah. And then at the end, she's like, bring down the construction arm and I'll... give me a gun and I'll hook myself to the thing and I'll leap off the side.
You're
like,
100% right.
Just out of nowhere.
I didn't think of that. Because when you look at Aliens, well, in Alien, it's out of necessity. She's just trying to survive. It's not an action hero moment.
Yeah.
She just does some quick thinking on her feet at the very end of the movie.
Yeah.
In Aliens, she's forced to go into the queen nest and rescue and get in the power loader because of Newt.
Yes.
Like, that's the reasoning. But, yeah, it's just, yeah, you're absolutely,
do
I
you
completely
think that
agree.
Ridley Scott got notes from his producers or what have you that are like, everybody's doing a soft reboot now. We have to do a soft reboot. Like, remember in Aliens when she threw the alien out of the airlock with the power loader?
Can you do that?
Just do it again.
Yeah.
Just do it again.
You know what scene I really did like?
What's that?
There was some really great moments in this movie, which is a shame. I mean, that's not a shame. It's a shame there's not more.
Yeah.
When Ripley 5 loses James Franco. Mm-hmm. And she's crying in the stock area, you know, where they're looking over the materials when she's with Walter. Mm-hmm. And she goes, we were supposed to go and build a cabin together. What am I supposed to do now? And him being a robot that's kind of programmed to be not a psychopath,
yes.
He knows the exact right thing to say. Mm-hmm. He's like, you should absolutely still build your cabin. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she gets emotional and whatever, and you ties those two characters together.
Yes.
I thought that was a great moment.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, but fuck everything else.
But undercut later when she's like, you got to still help me build my cabin?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No, I'm going to murder you. It's weird, right?
It's real weird.
Why would you choose that moment?
Yeah.
Why would you... You'd slap a bomb on his back and be like, cabin? And then he'd be like, I don't know what you mean. And then you'd blow the bomb up. Real easy.
This is from Toby Frogface.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think we said Toby Maguire has a frog face once.
That's
maybe
right.
Maybe it's just a coincidence. I just saw Alien Covenant, thought it was well made. Poorly executed slasher. Fassbender and McBride were great.
Yeah, look, I think a lot of the... Yeah, again, the tension building was good.
Mm-hmm.
And if the characters weren't so dumb, I think it would have been quite effective.
Yeah, fair enough.
But every single time I'm like, don't look in the egg.
Don't look
in the egg. Don't lean towards that guy's pulsating sword.
It's opening, step back.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
What did he think was going to be in there? Did he think Jesus was going to be in there? I think maybe he did.
It's very possible that he thought Jesus was going to be in there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. I don't know.
Yeah.
This is from Damn Wags. Despite some dumb moments, I enjoyed Alien Covenant.
Nice.
I really liked David's plot, but the final alien scene was unnecessary.
Agreed.
Yeah, fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
This is from, last one, it's from Xena. My favorite thing about Alien Covenant was how James Franco's character died.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Anyway, do you want to see another one?
Yeah.
Me too.
I kind of, it's weird, right?
Let's get into it.
Yeah.
Let's just go down this rabbit hole.
Mm.
Now, Mason, I know...
It's verging into Terminator territory, I feel, for me, where it's making no sense and the continuity's breaking, but I'm just like, yeah, let's see what happens. What else is going to happen? And again, if it's leaning more towards the HR Giga, like, disgusting, gross, biomechanical stuff, then I'm all for that.
Yeah, okay, fair enough, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think... But him being dead, do you think that kind of... Do you think anybody can design something on that level?
Probably not, but they have enough reference material to steal, you know?
Absolutely.
Mm.
Well, Mason, I know that people are a big fan of this segment. I only bring it in occasionally.
Oh, yes.
But I feel like this is... Because this my review for this went up a little bit earlier than... Because I'm a real critic and I see movies
earlier
sometimes.
You're one of the...
Actually,
the
no, I just went to a morning screening of it.
Oh, yeah.
It was out on a Thursday morning. Yeah. Uh-huh. But so I thought I'd bring back... So I got a bit of flack for my negative review.
Oh, what?
So I'm decided to bring back hate mail, but the hate has an 8 in it.
Fantastic.
Where I read out 8 bits of hate mail, but it's never 8.
I'm ready.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Here we go. This is from Andy Peters. What a moaning C-bomb of a reviewer.
Did he say C-bomb?
No,
ooh,
he did not.
Hello.
This review is shat.
All right.
This one says, this is the quote that he put that I said. It's masquerading itself as being a new concept. And then he says, that's what I said.
Yes.
And then he said, no, it doesn't. The entire marketing of the film was centered around it being an alien prequel and the return to form of the franchise. So whatever expectations you had for the film are rendered completely unrealistic. That makes it your own damn fault. Start making good videos again, Mr. Sunday, because this one was absolute shit.
Hello.
Bearing in mind, I didn't say it's masquerading itself as being a new concept. I said as being high concept.
Right.
So the basis for this criticism
is very much incorrect.
Yes, that's right.
Maybe rather than being critical, you should get some new ears, mate.
Yeah, maybe I should.
Not you, him.
Oh, okay, sure.
Maybe, well, and since you misheard what I just said then, maybe you should get some new ears, mate.
That was from Brian Doherty. This is from Carlos Yu. You suck at reviews. Just say it's okay. Stop trying. It's spelled T-R-Y-N to explain. Spelled X and then play.
Yeah, why would you explain anything in a review? I wouldn't. Just say it's okay. You know what I mean? Yeah, why waste minutes either creating or watching a review when you could just have some rando who's you don't know anything about their life or what their values in a movie are, just say it's okay.
Say it's okay.
Imagine that. Imagine you had however many 100,000 YouTube subscribers on the back of every review was 10 seconds and you went, it's okay.
I think there's something to that.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
This one's from Sean McClure and it just says 1 trillion thumbs down. Brutal.
That's a thing.
That's a record, right?
Yeah, but I mean also...
Is that to me or the movie, actually? I don't know.
See, that's a thing. If you just said it's okay... What does that mean? But this guy, 1 trillion thumbs down, is he referring to you or the movie or the breakfast he had? You know? Dog, what are you doing? Get away from my mic.
This is from Mr. Guess Who. Just says, fuck this channel. And there's 5 exclamation marks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Feel strongly about it. Absolutely. I appreciate it. I respect that.
This one says, you only like generic movies with ton of joked.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I got 2 more. This is from...
What? Why are there so many 14 to 16-year-old boys,
yeah,
which is what I'm assuming this person is, who hate jokes so much?
Yeah.
As at that age, 14 to 16, sure. 12 to 16-year-old boys,
yeah,
I love jokes.
You love jokes.
What's wrong with jokes? Why can't I go to a movie and go, haha, that was fun and I enjoyed it?
But I think there's the impression that people
You guys just love the Marvel movies because they're full of jokes. Yes.
Well,
they're funny and I like them.
Not all of them, though.
No, that's true.
Some more than others. Yeah. But yeah, but you can like different things also. Like,
great.
I didn't feel like this was a good alien film. Mm. I like great sci-fi movies and great alien films.
Yeah.
This is not that. Mm. For me, at least.
Yeah.
This is from Bobo V. Mr. Sunday Movies, boo! If you wanted some wham-bam alien action, go buy the dolls and smash them together. Whammo! You've got some Michael Bay steamy alien action. How dare you, sir, disparage Prometheus? I'm beginning to think you don't like movies that make you think, what if? Prometheus was a good movie. Go watch Michael Bay's Transformers for some good old action porn with zero thought.
None of that's good. Also, the best part of that comment is if you read the first part in Stan Lee's voice, it actually seems quite enthusiastic.
I can't do a voice, but okay. I wish I could.
Just imagine, do what he say.
The Mr. First Sunday part. Movies, boo! If you wanted some wham bam alien action,
if you want some wham bam action, just get some toys and put them together. Whammo! See, it's great.
It is great.
I'd love to do that. Actually,
last one. Thank you for that completely biased review on the movie. I'm just saying, do it if you're going. Just saying. Stop. So I got to make sense of this. I'm going to correct some grammar as
okay,
I'm going.
Okay.
Just saying, if you're going to review something, try not to be so fucking biased and review something based on your personal like or dislike.
In a way, a bias and a personal like or dislike are the same thing. In a way, reviewing something
is
inherently
absolute,
biased.
In a way, criticizing someone else's review of something is also a bias.
In a way, isn't
but,
it?
But yeah. I shouldn't do it, should
you
I?
You shouldn't definitely. Why should you do it? Why are critics so critical? Only the fans should be allowed to review things, I think.
I agree.
And I think if you ever reach the point where you can make a living from being a critic,
yeah,
then you're a critic and you shouldn't be allowed to be a critic anymore.
Agreed.
Mm.
I find that whenever a movie is made for the fans,
yep,
it's no good.
It's absolutely no good.
Yeah,
right?
Mm. Yeah. Unless, you know, it is good.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? When a studio or a director goes... You know, you hear it's bad or they hear that
yeah.
people... And then they're like, well, it made $200 million. I didn't make it for critics. I made it for fans.
Mm. So what you made it for is people who are completely uncritical of anything.
Correct.
I didn't imagine they went, I didn't make it for critics. I made it for people who will just... They'll just eat up any old garbage. That's who I made it for. Idiots. Dog, total dumbasses.
Ah, I love hate mail.
It's good,
right? We should do it more.
Yeah.
But I don't like to overdo it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
Because it also encourages... You know, negative comments. And uh-huh. I like the kind of good community that we've mm. built. More so here, obviously, than YouTube.
Yeah, sure, right.
All right, you know what it's time for?
Oh, it's time for our famous segment.
What are we reading?
What are we going to read?
I'm doing the thing. What are you reading?
Well, this week I've just been re-listening to Soundgarden Super Unknown on repeat.
That sucks.
Yeah, that's a soundtrack for like angsty teen parties that I went to in the 90s. Yeah.
Well, he was a staple of our teen years, wasn't he, Chris Cornell?
Yeah.
And it was 52 when he passed away. It was revealed that he committed suicide.
Yeah.
Which is, whenever something like this happens, it's a whole lot of questions. Like you get the questions like, how could a man who had so much, you know, be so unfulfilled?
I always go. I thought I always have when this happens, and it sounds dumb. Is I go like, maybe I could have done something to stop it. Like not like, but like on a level of like, maybe if I'd seen him and I'd be like, hey man, you're doing a great job, you know, kind of thing.
Have you ever seen Chris Cornell?
Never in my life. But like, I feel like
this isn't on you then.
No, exactly. But I'm always like, so that's why, as a result, like if you ever meet anybody like that, I'm always like, or even like a local person, you know, who's in a band or like a you know, comedian or actor or something like that. I always, or you know, if you just meet, I'm always like, you're doing a great job. I like what you do, kind of thing. I like, you know,
are you fishing for compliments when people see you? Is that what this is?
No, absolutely. No, but more in the sense of like, if you if you see someone you like them, just tell them how great you think they
100%.
Are.
100%. You know, yeah,
maybe
absolutely.
Maybe they got on the surface, they got everything, but underneath they could use a little bit of, you know, a little bit of encouragement.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's also that kind of thing where even when somebody seemingly has everything, obviously mental health, and we've been talking about a lot this year with the November campaign. Mm-hmm. You know, it's obviously something that a lot of people kind of struggle with. So at the risk of kind of making this a shameless plug, we've got our Movember campaign for men's mental health.
Yeah, we do.
We didn't do the Q&A that's linked to that this
week. Men's mental health. When's there going to be a campaign for men's mental health? Because you know when they do that.
I absolutely know that.
When's there going to be men's day? There is one. Shut up.
But so we've raised about over nearly $45,000,
yeah,
I think,
right,
for that.
Yeah.
So if you want to contribute to that, there's also some links to the website if anybody is struggling with depression or, you know, having any kind of those thoughts. I feel like it's one of those situations. Look, I've never struggled with it to the extent where I know a lot of other people have.
Uh-huh.
But I know for me, what works is exercise. I mean, I don't, you know, just going for a run, getting out, doing something.
Chin-ups.
Just chin-ups.
Medicine ball.
No, I genuinely think there's something to keeping you moving, which makes you feel better. And I think, and also just talking to people.
Yeah, totally.
You know? Mm. And I think that's a big part of it. Like someone you trust, like a friend, family member, whoever.
Mm.
You know, so, but man, that Chris Cornell, that sucks, man.
Yeah.
Is is great.
And yeah. So Super Unknown, also, if you've never heard of Soundgarden, which I guess a lot of our listeners haven't. Super Unknown. Also, he's got his first solo album's called Euphoria Morning, and that's really good.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, check that out.
Also, he wrote what I think is the best Bond theme.
You can say that. I disagree.
You don't, which is the best one? Is it Live and Let Die?
There's so many good ones.
Okay, top three.
Diamonds Are Forever. It's pretty good.
Yep.
There's so many good ones. From Russia With Love.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
they're all kind of like...
That's what I love about them. Yeah. From Russia With Love is one of my favorites because it's a good song. Mm. It's good. It's good to sing at the karaoke. Sure. But also, it's just a song about a man who flies around the world looking for love. Like, there's no... Clearly, they went to the guy who made it, Matt Monro, and they went, hey, Matt, can you write a song for our film From Russia With Love? And he's like, sure thing. And then a couple of weeks later, he gives him the tape, and he's like, thanks, see you later.
I did
and
it.
They, and he left, and they went, oh, we didn't ask him to put any spy stuff in it. Oh, it was so dumb. We didn't ask him to put anything in about a jetpack or assassined bullet or anything. We're idiots.
Absolutely.
Flying car, submarine car.
Yeah, because some of those Bond songs just tell the story of a James Bond adventure.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, the reason I like his one is because there hadn't really been, like, there's been some variations and people trying to do something different.
Yep.
And it pretty much always fails.
Uh-huh.
But his one, it sounds like a Bond theme, but at the same time, it's completely different.
That's true.
I think it's great. Mm-hmm. I think it's a great song.
What have you been reading this week?
I watched it's on Netflix, Train to Busan, which is a Korean zombie horror movie set on a train.
Set on a train.
It's fantastic. Subtitles.
Busan.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's about a father and daughter and a whole bunch of other people they meet up with. So the zombie infection gets on the train and then they have to go carriage to carriage and make stops and whatever. And
they have to stop at every stop.
They have to stop at every stop. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And no, I
they have to check tickets. That's even on zombies.
It's the, I can't
tickets,
remember.
Tickets, please.
I can't remember who directed it, but, if you like zombie movies, I would say this is one of the better ones. Absolutely. Okay. I would say, you know, if you like, you know, like the, what's the one? The Danny Boyle one.
Yep.
What's that one called? I can't remember. 28 Days Later.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, if you like the Zack Snyder's Dawn of the Dead, this is more kind of that than your standard. Okay. It does something new.
Yep.
And it also creates characters that you're invested in.
Is there a scene?
Yes.
Where there's somebody waiting at a train station and the train is late and they're like, and they're tapping their watch, and then the train gets there and the doors open and it's full of zombies and they're like, I'll get the next one.
No, that's not. But okay, but that would have been incredible. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah. No, it's, I mean, it's also, it's very, you know, it's very Korean in a lot of ways.
How do you mean there?
You know.
Now that you mean nonsensical.
No, not even. I don't know. There's obviously just some cultural stuff that's different, but I like that about it as well. Mm. You know, it's.
I like a Korean film from time to time.
The Host?
The Host, I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Pretty great.
Might be the same. Is it the same director? I don't want to say that because it could be racist.
Yeah, right.
I don't, because I have
potentially
no,
it is. Yeah.
I have no idea. Anyway, if you've got Netflix, it's on there. Check it out. Yeah,
I will.
What do you got, Mason? You got the bloody. Have you got the theme ready? Too ready. We love you. Some letters. They're only
a tick away. Hang on, they're here right now. We're going to do letters.
Would you like me to do some tweets?
Yeah, do some tweets while I find my letter.
If you hashtag Weekly Planet Pod on Twitter, you can find, we'll go through your tweets and then we'll find them. Also, you can send one to weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com and Mason will read through every one of them and reply in kind.
Mm-hmm.
In kind words and pictures.
And
draw you a little picture. And
deeds. I'll plant a little tree for you. Make sure your email's carbon neutral.
This is from Nostalgia Ultra. Hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. Are you guys keen for Twin Peaks Season 3 or nah?
I wasn't the biggest fan of Twin Peaks back in the day.
Never seen it.
I was much more enthused for the X-Files reboot and then look how that ended up.
Yeah, but David Lynch is doing it. You like him?
Not really.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, fair enough. Mm. You're the first person I've ever heard say that, and that makes you wrong.
Yeah. Look, I've got two letters on a very similar theme. Edward Capon on the email, weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com, and also Phil Bartoszkiewicz.
Yep.
Both of these guys want to know, speaking of Alien Covenant, is Ridley Scott doing a George Lucas? Has he got George Lucas syndrome? Ooh,
not as many green screens, so it's not as obvious, maybe.
Yeah. I guess we have to define what George Lucas syndrome is.
And mad.
I think it's constant. Yeah, bad.
No, mad.
Oh, mad. Yeah, that too. I guess constantly chipping away at his own franchise.
Yeah, that is.
I think it's destabilizing his own franchise.
Right, okay, sure,
there. To which I say yes.
Yeah, probably. Mm. Yeah, I guess it's probably not as apparent because there's probably more fans of these than when there were the prequels.
Yes.
And maybe these will, you know, people will turn around in years to come and go, this is brilliant, what an amazing masterstroke. But it just seems really, as I said in my view, it seems a really really complicated way to just go, aliens.
Yeah, exactly.
Aliens.
Yeah.
So, on Twin Peaks, I will give it a go, but I'm not going to watch the original series. I'll watch some recap and then I'll watch it.
Yeah, good.
I can't commit to all that. There's too much good TV as it is, Mason. There's too many average superhero shows and good TV on at the moment. Am I right?
You're loving Fargo, right?
I am, absolutely.
I still haven't got to American Gods. I still got the cringe.
I'm still one in. I got to go back. Yeah.
Yeah, we should do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. This is from Charlie Newman. Did you know Tartakovsky's Popeye movie was cancelled for the Emoji movie?
I was vaguely aware of that. Isn't that something?
So he did Dexter's Laboratory, Samurai Jack, that really awesome season of the Clone Wars where it's hand-drawn. No, I didn't know that at all.
Mm. They had to clear the slate for the Emoji movie.
I don't give
a... Who's heard of Popeye, but people have seen Poopeye, which is, I assume, the name of the poop emoji. They can put a pun in there. If they can really add insult to injury and be like, do a Popeye Poopeye joke.
I can see why Sony went with the Emoji movie, because Popeye is an old brand.
That's exactly right, yeah.
And the last movie wasn't very good. It was from the 80s. It had Robin Williams or whatever. Mm. I can see why they did it, but with that guy on the back of it, it might have been like with the Peanuts movie where it was good and it recaptured what made that character great, but also updated it.
Yeah, right.
That being said, I turned off the Peanuts movie because I'm like, fuck all these sad kids. I don't like them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. All right. But no, it sounds like something would have been good.
Oh, here's a question. Mm. It's not a question. It's a thing. It's a statement.
It's a statement.
This has been brought to our attention. Rod Skladowski was on TeePublic, where we have our T-shirts. He was looking for the Weekly Planet logo T-shirts.
Right.
Which were being temporarily off the site.
Yes.
But for logistical purposes. But by the time you listen to this, they should be back. So if you guys want a t-shirt,
tpublic.com,
just search for Weekly Planet.
That's right.
They'll all be on there.
And it's linked below also.
Oh, yeah, nice. Great.
So, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, Ron, thanks for pointing that out.
Thanks, Ron. Yep. I'm not across that at all.
If I want to, I can hit this. Now Gmail has auto replies.
Mm.
So if I want, I can just click, I will look into this and get back to you.
Do it. So then when he listens to this, he'll get the email. Do
it.
Please do it.
I can't do it.
Do it.
No, I'm not going to do it. I don't like these canned. Actually, I kind of love these canned responses.
Do it. Do it. Hit a weird one.
Okay.
Do it now.
No, I'm not going to do it.
Do it.
No, I will not.
I'm going to go on and do it.
Do it then.
We both have access to this email.
Yeah, you do. All right.
You're
going to do it live on the podcast.
You better bloody believe
it. Wow, this is deceptive.
Ah, shit, a brick. I got to find it.
That's right.
Who's it from? Rob.
Ron Sklodowski.
Ron, you are in for a treat, my friend.
That's assuming he even listens this far.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Yeah. Oftentimes we'll respond to somebody and be like, hey, this person said this. And I'm like, maybe they don't even listen to the end of this. But they all our episodes sort of trail off a bit.
That's true. Mm. These are my options. I will look into it and get back to you. Let me look into it, or sure thing. Sure thing?
Yeah, sure thing.
Done.
Mm. Nice.
That's going to look real rude if he never, ever hears this.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, one more tweet. This is from Tomaz. Can't say your last name. Apologies. Hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. The Witcher TV series is coming to Netflix.
Ooh,
you guys
yeah.
excited or nah?
I've never played the Witcher series.
Me neither, but I nearly borrowed it from my friend the other day, then I forgot.
Nice.
The Witcher 3. Which is apparently phenomenal.
Yeah, that's the best one, I think.
Yeah, so I'm up for this.
It's based on a wildly popular series of novels, probably.
From, like, Scandinavia or some
Scandinavia,
shit.
Finland.
I don't know if that's where it's from.
Yeah,
it almost certainly isn't.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I think there's absolutely room for a kind of a fantasy-esque television show.
Yep.
And this world seems absolutely right
for it. Is there more magic than Game of Thrones? If there is, I'm in.
What if there's not?
Then I'm out.
What if there isn't?
I'm also out.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Tried to trip you up then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was a duck season, rabbit season situation.
That's right.
You didn't get me.
I did not. That is the show for this week.
Yes, it is.
Next week, Pirates 5.
Oh, is it?
All when right. it gets good again, Mason.
You know what? I've been away from the Pirates franchise for a couple of movies. Maybe I'll enjoy this one.
I wonder if you shotgunned all those Pirates movies before you saw this one. You watched all four and then went into this, whether you could even stand to sit in that theater and watch this.
Yeah, right.
I bet you couldn't.
There's no way it's not just more of the same. How are they going to...
Well, maybe it's a good version of more, because it can be good more of the same.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Look, if it's better than... I don't care if it's bad. What do I care? Yeah. I have no stake in this. Even if it's good, I hope they stop making them. So that's where I'm at.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm. I don't know. All right. Where can people find us?
Oh, you can find us on Weekly Planet Pod on Facebook and Twitter and Gmail and Bandcamp. What was our last movie commentary? Doesn't matter. It was pretty good. Oh, it was because it was Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians, yeah.
Which is why I forgot, because it was an enjoyable one.
Absolutely.
Let's see. I'm at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter.
I'm at Mr. Sunday Movies.
Let's see. If you want to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/Mr. Sunday Movies. You can also go to our Amazon.
I should point out with that Patreon, I'm going to try, and more often than not, I should be able to do this, get the Caravan of Garbage up there early.
Early, nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
That's the
nice.
Plan. Mm. So if you are there, good work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you want to go to we've also got an Amazon affiliate link.
Yep.
Click it on, it's in the episode description. You click on that, you can go through, you can buy all the Pirates movies on DVD or 4K Blu-ray and watch them before
Don't.
This. No,
yep.
never do it. And we get a kickback somehow.
Yep.
You pay the same price. How's it work? We don't know.
Who cares?
Thank you, The Brute and the Basilisk and Rackham, for all our themes.
Yep.
Thank you, everybody who sends in some nice art. Fergal Quigley this week made an Alien Covenant-esque portrait of us, where I'm an alien but also a tuba.
Sweet.
It's pretty good. It's incredible. But thank you, everybody else who sends us a nice one.
I hate it when I miss art.
Mm.
Sometimes I miss art.
And thank you to everybody who subscribes and says a nice thing on a review, maybe.
That's a review, yeah.
Yeah, it's real nice.
Absolutely.
Feels good, man.
Feels good to be alive, Mason. Yeah.
It does, doesn't it?
Sometimes.
Yeah. All the time.
You're right. It does all the time.
That's what Sinatra said. He said, you got to love living, baby. Dying's a pain in the ass. That's what he said.
Is that what he said?
Yeah. I don't know when he said that. I hope he didn't say it as he was dying.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I have no information on that. Mm. Yeah, but no, thank you for listening. If you do have some thoughts on Pirates, tweet them in at #WeeklyPlanetPod and we'll try and read out a few next week.
Yeah.
And also on the Gmail, maybe Mason will send you
a canned response.
Can you start doing canned responses?
All right, guys. If you tell you what, How about this? When you send an email, weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com, you know how sometimes they're like, I'll take the answer off the air. Let me know if you want a canned response and I'll send you a canned response. Because I got to be honest with myself and the listeners. Sure. You know what I mean?
I should point this out to you. When you hit the canned response, it then goes to send mail and then you have to press send.
Okay, right.
So it's not just an instant thing.
Okay, cool.
Which is kind of annoying. I want it to be instant. I want it to be like thoughtless and instant.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well,
because that's how I consider the people who listen to this show, Mason.
Thoughtless and instant. Well, look, maybe next time.
Good stuff.
Maybe in the next update.
All right. Thanks for listening, guys.
Grab that champion, guys. We'll see you next week.
Bye. I should get new headphones, actually.
Dog, you got to get up. You got to get up, man. Dog. What are you dogging about? You're dogging about. Come here. Come here, dog. You got to get up, your dog.
She was asleep.
You dirty dog. I've woken you up. Yeah, I know. I know. I'm a bad bloke. But luckily, I can pick you up in this blanket.
She does not like that at all.
Hello.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.